where Wolseley hippies and West End punks can get along. This is CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
The following is an encore presentation from CKUW's archives. Join us next week when the regular host will be back with a few new episodes of original programming.
Welcome back to Ronnie's Rumpus Reviews. This week I'm diving into the works of a controversial yet iconic figure of Wu-Tang fame, Ghostface Killa. And the reason this is popping up is his new album, his sequel to the beloved Supreme Clientele. And I have many thoughts. I thought that this new album was, overall, a good time. It's messy, it has issues, but it's mostly fun. The main hurdle that permeates throughout this album, and throughout Ghostface as a rapper, is the problematic and weird bars. I've come to realize that the Wu-Tang Clan hasn't always been on the right side of issues, mainly Ghost and GZA. They're generally positive and progressive force in hip-hop, but there are a few crevices of Wu history that aren't quite as charitable. And plenty of rap is controversial and edgy, like songs about murder and violence and gangs, but Ghost has particularly uncomfortable songs from time to time. Like, writing a song about murder and obscene violence is usually under the guise of obvious fiction and over-the-top fantasy, but hearing a 50-something-year-old dude talk about getting head and getting women, or sharing his opinion on gay people or femininity, or putting his 2 cents in on Kanye, it just doesn't hit the same. It's uncomfortable. There's quite a few bars, mainly from features, that actually reflect some progressive and good-to-hear views on politics, with Nas condemning Project 2025 on his verse, for example. Most of the bars are great, plenty are even agreeable, but the few bad apples are hard to chew through. But once you get past that, most of the songs are good. The album is definitely overstuffed and filled with half ideas and songs that feel unfinished. This album could have used some editing. Instead of plopping a bunch of mostly good but inconsistent 1 to 2 minute tracks that fly by at breakneck speed, this album could have just stuck to the 10 to 15 of its best ideas and really fleshed them out to its limits. I have a hard time complaining about lengths, but it's not really the lengths of the song that matter to me at all. I love stuff like Donuts by J. Dilla, where barely any track reaches 2 minutes, and I love stuff like Velocity Design Comfort by Sweet Trip, where songs regularly reach 7, 8, 9, 10 minute marks. It's about whether the songs feel like they fit that length, whether they feel suited to that length. Too many of the songs on this album don't feel fully filled in and a bit forgettable as a byproduct of that. Plus, there were several skits, and only maybe one of them was actually funny. Dave Chappelle just wasn't needed on this album. He wasn't even properly mic'd. Now for some actual reasons to listen to the album. The production is pretty sick. A ton of this album is self-produced, and some of the best beats on here were made by Ghostface himself. Curtis May, for example, is a super smooth hip-hop head-bopping experience, and it's all produced by Ghost. Conway really shines bright on that track, too. I like the heavy sampling throughout. I could see someone calling some of the production a bit lazy, particularly the Zoom. He kind of just played a song and rapped between it. I personally didn't mind the style, especially when done more creatively. But there were definitely some beautiful soul samples and stuff that gave me this old-school feel. Rap Kingpin had a really sweet whistle sample and sick DJ scratching on the hook. There's plenty of impressive stuff in these instrumentals. I think when it's all said and done, a driving factor of this album is the energy. This is a project made by a bunch of old heads, and some songs negatively reflect that. Some songs just felt a bit sleepy and uncharacteristically unenergetic. Soul Thang is a great example of a promising sound that just stays at that level for far too long, and eventually becomes tiresome. But really why I'm giving this album slack is because this album is mostly full of very high energy. There's a few amazing songs that push the project over the edge into a positive territory. For example, the first track, Iron Man, had my head bopping so hard it nearly flew off my head. It shows off how energetic of a style this old school rapper could still pull off. And then the song that really pulled me on board was The Trial. I truly think it's one of the best songs of the year. It fully harkens back to stuff on 36 Chambers with the energy of a bunch of hooligans spinning a web and creating a little movie in the form of a song. First, we get an incredible back and forth from Ghost and Raekwon playing the role of the defendants, followed by a neat continuation of this energy with Pills and Reek the villain, and then it's all wrapped up by a closing verse from Jizza as the stenographer, bringing back the tradition of always closing with Jizza when he's on a Wusong. This is all held together by Method Man as the judge, and a simply incredible tension-filled beat produced by Rhodes Art. It's simply magic, it got me so giddy. The very next track has some great skills showed off by Ghost and Nas over a beautiful beat. Candyland is another highlight with some incredibly fun candy-related bars used as a cheeky allegory for drugs. Really reminds me of Food, although this song also has a really cringe estrogen bar. It's kind of ironic that Ghost ever gets homophobic, considering he could also show off some great vulnerability and friendship on a song like You My Friend, featuring his great friend Method Man, who has one of the best verses on the album. It's really a shame that Ghost seems quite stuck in his ways despite his ability to reflect and make great art. It's tough trying to really love this album. It's not perfect and has many downsides. But the hits really do hit, so I simply had to give this a 6 out of 10. And immediately after listening to this, I had to go back to the original. It's not an album that I had really dove into yet. I've listened to at least half of the project before without really paying attention, but I finally actually sat down and put all my energy into this classic album, and I'm really glad I did. This was very refreshing after listening to the sequel, and much more consistent. I loved this a lot. I literally loved pretty much every song on the album. Going back to what I was saying about song length, it really feels like each song fits its length like a glove, and like each song was fleshed out to its full potential. Even the skits felt so much more earned and natural. I found myself settling in and just laughing and smiling when a skit would come on. Each one feels so real, like we're actually hanging out with a pack of loudmouthed fellas at a party, nearly on par with the world-building interludes on 36 Chambers. And they were so textured and flavored. That's really it. The whole album is so flavored and charismatic and just creatively put together in every sense. This album got my mouth hurting from smiling. It's just so fun. Enough beating around the bush, I'm actually gonna go track by track on this thing. Nutmeg is a song that I only on this listen really came around to. I initially felt it was a bit too one note. Literally, it's a lot of the same note on the instrumental. But I really let the tension build and release while paying attention to the warm bass tone and light tappy drums, which are really the elements that brought the song far past one note like I originally thought. It's also just a ton of fun lyrics smoothly blasted through to make a great opening track. One, the third track, is a very iconic song, which is another one that could feel repetitive if it wasn't for all the flavorful sauce put into each aspect that makes up the sound of the song. Ghostface rolls off rowdy party bars along with RZA throwing in his underrated mic presence with an off-kilter but confident verse before closing the song with one of my favorite song endings in hip-hop. I love when rappers interact with the sample of the instrumental and play around like that. Saturday Night is another great case for my points on song length. It doesn't feel unnatural to have a minute and a half track with just one long verse because it's not crammed in between a bunch of other songs like it, and it feels like it said all it needed to say, spinning a story about being investigated and harassed by some feds. Not to jump around too much, but later in the track list, Stay True is a song with the exact same track length, and again, it doesn't feel like they just ran out of juice. It feels like they simply added the perfect amount of song to the song. Since I'm already jumping around, though, I'm gonna breeze past some tracks that I do love, but I don't have too much to say on them. Ghost Deity is a classic Wu banger with a sick gloomy beat and a beautiful sung bridge from Ghost. I feel similar about The Grain, a simply well-made classic Wu-Tang sound, to some great verses from Ghost and RZA, along with some complex textured production. Mighty Healthy is a very gritty, gloomy track with some incredible energy, and the inclusion of the iconic Melvin Bliss drum break. Finally, We Made It is another example of simply great song making with an immaculate song structure built around this beautiful string sample. Now back to the regular tracklist order. Apollo Kids, the sixth song on the album, includes one of the hardest beats on the album by far. It's just Ghostface and Ray going back and forth, rapping bars that feel very suited to the Wu-Tang brand, very communal, like they are hyping each other up and the whole crew up over this insane and gritty horn sample on the beat. Buck 50 is one of the few grand posse cuts. The beat is perfect for this type of gritty group track, with a great sense of tension and gripping composition, with this rattling wobbly sample that demands your attention with each verse. Naturally, they brought on Method Man, Capadonna, Redman, and switching up the format by closing with another hype verse from the Iron Man himself. This is also one of many tracks produced by RZA. RZA is really the mastermind behind the Wu brand and the Wu sound, and while this album has many producers, RZA does keep a steady DJ hand in the background throughout, which feels especially at home on these posse tracks. Stroke of Death is another track helmed by the creativity of RZA with this incredibly off-putting and dizzying beat, one of those beats that really challenges you to flow perfectly and make it pop, like the tempo-changing masterpiece No Snakes Alive on Take Me to Your Leader, MF Doom's most underrated album. This all concludes in RZA slaying his own beat with so much grace, like a swift sword movement or a stroke of death to kill off the song. Malcolm is one of the most compelling songs with a revolutionary theme, weaving a story song about progress within the streets and bad actors who muddy the message in between samples of Malcolm X himself. All of this over a very versatile and ever-shifting beauty being this gritty beat by Chew the Specialist. This track relates to a big theme of black empowerment and politics, which seems to be a combined artistic effort of Ghostface and RZA. RZA has many political references and historical references throughout his career. Child's Play is another story song, a very charming love ballad about adolescent love and Ghost just reminiscing about his childhood in general, over this light and fluttery sample. The drums and sample progression to go along with the switch in Ghostface tone halfway through the song, before getting back to the original beat, is really effective, especially. Wu Banga 101 is the last real rap song on the album, before one last skit and a little musical wrap-up. This is another big group track, with verses from GZA, Raekwon, Masta Killa, Capadonna, and of course Ghost. It's a great send-off before the last few minutes of the album, with this group of guys simply going bar for bar over this soul-sampled beat by Mathematics, who also produced Mighty Healthy. It's really just a ball of joy in album form. Plenty of quantity, plenty of quality, plenty of charisma. Now, for what stops this album from being perfect. I have intentionally avoided talking about this during my track-by-track section, and I hate to bring this up again, but it's still insane to listen to such a talented artist talk about these progressive ideas and calls for black liberation in between these crummy dirtbag lines thrown in every once in a while. I just had to roll my eyes at a certain point after hearing another problematic bar, weird line about gay marriage, casual use of the F slur, creepy moment on One about snatching girls' clothes off. It's just something I can't ignore. It's so close to perfection, and I still do absolutely adore this album. I'll just have to live with the eyebrow-raising lyric here and there each time I come back to this. It's a 9 out of 10 for me, for sure. That's all I have for you this week. Check out Review Ronnie on Insta and YouTube for info and archives on the show. And before I let you listeners go, it's time for Ronnie's Joke of the Week. What would you say if a businessman trying to make a deal with the famous clothing brand Supreme lost the bidding war with another businessman? Oof, that was a real Supreme client L. See you next time on Ronnie's Ready Whip Reviews.
Hi, I'm Zach. I'm a DIY DJ, and you can be one too. This is Listener Driven Radio, CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
CKUW 95.9 FM is supported by the Dave Barber Cinematheque, located at 100 Arthur Street. Run by the Winnipeg Film Group, the Dave Barber Cinematheque has been a mainstay in the Exchange District since the 1980s, showing films from across the globe and highlighting Winnipeg filmmakers. Check out their show listings, updated monthly, at DaveBarberCinematheque.com. The Dave Barber Cinematheque is your home for cult classics, insightful documentaries, and independent cinema from around the world and up-and-coming Winnipeg filmmakers. Located at 100 Arthur Street, the Dave Barber Cinematheque has been a mainstay in Winnipeg since the 1980s. Check out their show listings, updated monthly, at DaveBarberCinematheque.com. Show your CKUW Friends card and get member pricing for any regular screening.
Shh. Groundswell Radio on CKUW explores the best contemporary concert music from Winnipeg and around the world. Tune in Mondays at 2 and to hear it all again Sundays at 4. Groundswell Radio only on CKUW 95.9 in Winnipeg.
Located on the first floor of Portage Place Shopping Center, Studio 393 is a come-as-you-are drop-in studio space for people aged 13 to 29, run by Graffiti Art Programming. The program curriculum is shaped by participants focusing on music production, recording, DJing, creative writing, and podcasting. In addition to a highly qualified staff of practicing artists, Studio 393 also receives local, national, and international guest artists and professionals to facilitate workshops and mentor aspiring and emerging artists. We also offer personal and professional development opportunities. Studio 393 is now open 4 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturdays. For more information, please contact info@graffitigallery.ca or go to www.graffitigallery.ca.
Thank you.